Welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast.
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 Your source for the truth in health and fitness. Now here are your podcast personal trainers, Jan and Tyler.
Hello and welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast. I'm Keon.
And I'm Tyler.
And we're your podcast personal trainers for today, Tuesday the 12th of 2010. For some reason I like the say in 2010.
Because there's 2010 and there's 2010. There's like the two ways that people say it, right?
I'm not even concerned about the way of saying it, 2010 and 2010. I just like the fact that it's a new year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because
I like the 2010.
Instead of saying 2010. Yeah. I 2010's short. It seems like futuristic almost. But 2010 just seems classy.
Because I never used like 1985. It was always So I guess 2010 would be the.
Right.
For some reason, 2010 just sounds weird to me. 2010 sounds.
Yeah, because you went. Well, because if you said 1985, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe 2010 is what.
Right.
Huh.
I just feel like it. You know, whatever.
That's a brain thought for anybody.
Yeah, a brain thought as opposed to a nose thought, Tyler.
Well, I don't really care. It's just kind of like a, what's going to be the standard?
I don't think there is going to be a standard, you know? Like, Fox News is going to say it one way, CNN's going to say it another way, I'm going to say it whatever the however the hell I want to.
2010.
210?
No, just be like,
just
2010. It is January 11th, 2010. Just random stuff like that. That'd be good. Mix it up.
Right. That'd be really, really fun. Or not.
Not so much.
Not so much. Today, we're going to be talking about the glycemic index. So we're going to go into what it is, what it isn't.
Why it matters.
Why it matters, and how you can incorporate it into your food plan. For the rest of the week, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about lumbar flexion. In the strength and conditioning world, there's a lot of people against it. We'll talk about why that is, and we'll talk about how that affects you and should you continue to do it.
I guarantee you half the people that just listened to that went, what is it?
Right, exactly.
They don't even know what it is. So that's a reason why you should listen.
Tune into that. And then Thursday, we're talking about this Times article about genetics. And then Friday, we've decided, since some readers, listeners, have written into us, they want to hear about alcohol. So
Doesn't want to hear about alcohol?
Right. So we're going to talk about that. So hopefully we can get some good information out to you about those topics. So let's head into the glycemic index, Tyler. What are your views on it? Let's just talk about it as a whole. What is it?
The glycemic index is an index.
Oh, zing!
Basically, that rates the amount of glucose that is in basically a carb.
Right. How it's going to affect you is how fast it digests in your system.
Yeah.
So if you go back to like old school math, if you were on a graph, say a piece of white bread. Would go up real quick and then come down real fast. And like say a bean will go up slower but come down slower.
Okay.
And have less of a peak too. So yay math.
Okay.
So exactly. That it pretty much has, they've gone through every carbohydrate, and it's only for carbs that they've done it. So that includes breads, beans,
pastas,
fruits, vegetables. We have I found a pretty good list of the foods that they rank. Corn flakes, Rice Krispies, grains, jelly beans, a whole bunch of good stuff. So I'm gonna post this up. They even did milk and basic sugar, which is kind of cool. So there's a lot of information out there on the glycemic index. Why is it important? I guess the main question is, why is it important how to know how fast the food digests in our belly, right?
Why is it?
Yeah, why? I mean, why is it? Like, that's the main question. Like, why is this whole
because thing if it's important? Not, if it doesn't digest fast or at a rate that is something that you would want, you're gonna store it.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay, so I think Tyler jumped ahead for a quick second. No, it's okay. Don't worry. You're just so fast sometimes.
Get to the stuff I know.
Right. So if you don't, like, say a piece of bread, if you're not going to put it, use it as blood glycogen or as fuel for your muscle cells, typically your body will say, oh, I'm going to store it then.
Yeah.
And it also has impact on your insulin levels, your triglyceride levels, a whole bunch of different blood chemistry things that don't really matter too much right now, but they will as you age and get older and your doctor says, hey, you need to get your cholesterol down, and then it will matter, because the faster a carbohydrate digests, the faster the nutrients get into your system, and the faster, you know, those reactions happen, the slower, typically, the better. There are situations where eating a fast digesting carbohydrate is actually better than eating a slow digesting carbohydrate. So was that pretty?
That makes sense.
Okay, good. Sometimes you remember
you use some big words, but I figured I know what they are, and I figured everybody else does. And for the most part, if they don't know what the word is, they figured out what it was through your conversation.
Okay, good. So what is classified as a high glycemic food? Typically, high glycemic they have a point scale. So anything with a rating of 70 to 100, 100 being the most, is a high glycemic food. That's going to be your white bread. That's going to be your jelly beans. That's going to be sugar, like table sugar, I think, is high glycemic. Moderately glycemic is going to be anywhere. And this is where people vary. It's either 50 or 55
to 69.
Because if it goes to 70, then
you've mixed match.
You have an overlap. And then a low glycemic food would be something that's either 54 or 49 and below. So those are things that digest very slowly and release their energy into you at a different rate. So is there anything else we need to go into before we start giving off foods?
I was going to say that something that I like to know is how they figure out this stuff.
Oh.
And the way that they figure this out is scientists, which this kind of sounds fun, but then at the same time, it's entertaining. They basically make subjects eat the food,
uh-huh.
and then they take blood work over I think it was 3-hour period every 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And they affect, and they see how much, like, it's just the finger prick.
Right.
Like, you know, diabetics do kind of a concept, prick the finger, blood work, and they map it out that way, and then they graph it and figure out, okay, well, their sugar insulin levels at this time was here, and that's how they get a graph.
Interesting.
The graphs that you'll see on the website of truefitnessacademy.com. But that's how they get the graphs like that, is by just, they get like 10 subjects and they graph them out.
That, I did not know. Wow, way to go. Because I knew that it had to do something with blood chemistry, but a lot of times, like, for other foods, like for the just carb count, they'll burn the food.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, that to me is pretty badass. So let's go through, since our bread, we've mentioned our bread podcast wasn't our most thought out podcast. Let's give you some actual real world bread application. So a piece of white bread has a glycemic index of 70, meaning that it's definitively high glycemic carbohydrate.
Yeah.
So meaning that if you are just eating throughout the day, we haven't talked about special occasions when you should be eating high glycemic carbs, you're getting a quick shot of glucose into your system, while a piece of sourdough bread has a glycemic index of 52, which is moderate to low. So if you're going to choose white, if you're at a sandwich shop and they have white bread or sourdough and you want something low glycemic, pick the sourdough. And then the lowest one on the list that I have is whole grain pumpernickel bread,
okay,
which is has a GI of 46. GI, glycemic index, just so you know, so we don't have to keep saying the word. Most cereals that I have listed are actually really high. We have Corn Flakes, Rice Krispies, Grape Nuts, Total, Cheerios, Puffed Wheat, and Shredded Wheat are all
high.
Then everything, there's only one that's in the low category. It's All Bran, which is a 42. Special K is lower. It's moderate. But so pretty much stay away from cereals unless you're in a special occasion, right?
Or I think cereals are kind of that I like to do it right before I work out.
Uh-huh.
So that I have the energy while working out.
Right. Which is one of the special occasions that...
Yeah. Special occasions make it sound like you have a birthday party.
I know. That's
like
why
that.
I like saying it.
So that's... I wanted to specify that special occasions really mean before or after a workout.
Shh. Stop tipping my hand, Tyler.
Sorry.
Moving on. Grains that you should be eating or not eating. Instant rice has one of the highest GIs on this list, 87.
Instant rice.
Yeah.
So that's like the
quick stuff.
The stuff that you literally microwave and it's good?
I'm not sure. It could mean the quick boiling rice, you know, because there's some rice that takes like an hour to make, and there's some that takes 10 minutes to make. So I'm thinking the Uncle Ben, is that right? Uncle Ben's quick rice?
I think so.
I've never used it. So, and then moving on, brown rice has a GI 55, so borderline moderate. Then getting down, barley is super low. It's a 25.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like anything below 45 or 50 is you can pretty much eat at any point during the day. Moving on to snacks, this list qualifies as snacks. This is from the University of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
There it is. Snacks, most of them, including rice crackers, jelly beans, soda crackers, corn chips, those are all high GI.
Soda crackers?
Yeah, soda crackers.
Oh, saltines.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those chocolate bars, I'm not sure which chocolate bar they use, because depending on the bar, that's a moderate carb. So it's not as bad for you. And then peanut, that's super low. It's a 14. That means that crap is digesting super slow in your body. Everything else is moderate. And then pasta, spaghetti, and versus whole wheat spaghetti. Both are in the low categories. You got a 41 and a 37, respectively. Now, this is my favorite category, because people are I think, fairly not that knowledgeable about beans. Pretty much any bean you eat is going to be a low GI food. So, like a leafy green, I pretty much say you can eat a bean, black beans, at any time.
Yeah.
Baked beans, 48. Chickpeas are a 33. Cooked beans are 29. Lentils are a 29. And soybeans, don't eat them. Because they're despite the fact they're at 18, they have a whole slew of other problems.
There's reasons for not to. But I just read an article today or yesterday, about kidney beans and how they've figured out that there's an enzyme in it that promotes weight loss.
Really?
That, like, they're now almost thinking that the kidney bean might be better for you than the black bean.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, because the black bean has a glycemic index of 20. And I found this cool glycemic index search category. So name a food, Tyler, just one that you like.
Sushi.
Sushi.
Let's see if it has it.
Oh, there it is. Japanese style sushi rice. Sushi salmon. I love sushi in Sydney, Australia. It's a 48. So sushi, roasted sea algae, vinegar, and rice. That's a 55. Roasted sea algae, vinegar, and rice is a 50. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So not bad. It's not terrible for you. But just if you just ate the sushi rice, that's an 85.
Okay.
So it's the everything else that pulls it down. Moving on we have a couple more categories.
Vegetables and fruits you can pretty much eat whenever too, I feel.
Right, but different vegetables, like a baked potato.
Oh yeah.
85. That means, so if you're trying to eat low in the glycemic index.
Trying to figure out what is the highest one.
100.
I know, but what would classify as 100?
Pure glucose.
Well, no, duh. They're dumb.
Like what? You can get pure glucose.
Well, I understand that too, but of course, pure glucose would be the highest one. I'm just trying to say, like, something that you go to the grocery store, a baked potato is 85. Okay, that makes sense. Don't eat baked potatoes if, you know,
right.
They're a real starchy vegetable.
Right.
I actually, whenever I tell people to eat vegetables, I mentally always say not to do the potato, but whatever.
Right. I potatoes don't...
95.
Baguette.
A baguette.
Wow. That's intense. Let's see if there's anything higher than a 95. I love baguettes, though. Those things are so good. A parsnip. Really? A parsnip is a 97. It's we don't eat them anymore, really. They're not very popular.
What is it?
Dates. Wow, they busted they busted glucose. Dates are 103. I thought the limiting was 100, so that's kind of dubious in my mind. Vegetables, yeah, okay. Let's move on. So, baked potatoes, wouldn't recommend eating. Sweet potatoes, great. 54, green peas, 48. Fruit is a completely different beast because it's good for you. Like,
that's good glucose.
It's good. It's different for you. Like, watermelon, even though it has a glycemic index of 72, also has all of the hydrating factors that you need after a workout. So it has the sodium and the magnesium and all the good stuff in there, which hydrates you really quickly.
Yeah.
And also, it's delicious.
Yeah.
A mango, though, has just a regular mango, is right in the moderate level. It's a 55. Grapefruit is a 25. And a peach, surprisingly, is a 28. Because fructose is a slower digesting carbohydrate. So that's why. And then the last two, we have milk and yogurt and sugars. Chocolate milk is at a 34.
I just drank some.
Whole milk is at a 27.
Okay.
And skim milk is at a 32. And the reason they digest differently is because of the fat levels.
Yeah.
And then sugar, glucose is at 100. Honey, 58. Table sugar is 65. And fructose, the sugar you find in fruit, is 43.
Spectacular. So what does this really help people? Like, why should you care about this?
So like we said at the beginning, the whole, think of that those graphs. I'm going to put this PDF up from the University of Wisconsin because it's a really good one. But it has these two graphs, one that peaks really high and one that is more of a slow slope. And the reason you want that slow slope is that, one, you're going to want to eat less because you're getting this constant flow of blood sugar from your foods as opposed to a spike. So you could eat a bunch of small sugary meals a day, which is what a lot of people do, uh-huh. that digest really quickly and have these insulin spikes. Or you could get the lower glycemic foods at a more constant rate, which is much more, I mean, it's better for you because it decreases chances of type 2 diabetes, weight gain, and it increases, it's just much better for you.
Yes.
So, what was the question?
Like, why would this matter to somebody? Like, so, you know, we count calories, you figure out your carbs, your intake, you can figure out your protein intake and all that stuff. What should you, is it one of those things where you need to eat 300 glycemic index points?
Okay, got
or,
it.
Or, you know, should each meal, or is it just kind of a... you should know just in the back of your head, there's not really a number.
Yeah, I would say that my recommendation would be to eat high glycemic foods, so 70 and up, rarely. Moderate glycemic foods, you know, intermittently. And then anything 50 and below, the lower it gets, the more often you can eat it. So beans, anytime you want. Like a black bean especially, or a kidney bean especially, those two... fantastic for you, like that and spinach. Oh man, you can eat that as much as you want.
I know this is kind of a lot of graphic whatnot, but like when I eat beans, do this tonight, somebody, go and eat a can of black beans, like because normally people don't eat black beans that often.
Right.
This wouldn't work because you eat.
I eat them all the time.
But if you don't eat black beans often, eat a can of black beans tonight with your chicken or salmon or whatever you want to eat with it.
Right.
Eat some black. Tomorrow's morning's crap. might not be that easy, but your afternoon one will be just, you'll know that you ate the black beans.
Right.
And it's kind of a, you can tell that, okay, this worked its way through and I digested it. Instead of a, how much is coffee in the glycemic index?
I think coffee is non-caloric, so I don't think it has...
It wouldn't have
it. Let me see if I can find it. Keep talking.
Because that would make sense, because coffee goes right through my system and digests it, and it's...
That's because if you get the French press or whatever, it's the it's something in the enzymes, and if you actually get some coffee grounds in you, those like freak out your system and push it through.
So yeah, but it's like you can kind of judge how fast things digest in your system by how fast you go to the restroom, and it's easy.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. I never thought of it like that. All right. Oh, and we're not going to talk about there's something else that if you Google glycemic index, you might find something called the glycemic load. That's completely different, and we're not going to talk about it today. We're just not going to talk about it because it gets a little bit more complicated, and so we'll save that for another day. But just think glycemic index right now, because this is that's the most simple way of incorporating.
So long story short, if you want basically eat 50 or lower all the time, occasionally eat 70 to 50.
Right.
Rarely, or just random special occasions, eat 70 or higher.
Right. To answer your coffee thing, coffee has no carbohydrates, okay. So it wouldn't mark on the glycemic index.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and so...
but it shoots them through my system like no other.
Right. Oh. So another point to look out for is, like Tyler was saying, with the way they measure things is with the glycemic index is with that pinprick. So they take averages. So you might find one list that says... a croissant is a 67, and then you might find another one that says a croissant is a 72. And you're like, well, which one is correct? And they're both, they have a range, because people digest things differently. So what I found...
There's a margin of error on this, too.
Yeah, margin of error, and like, Tyler's going to digest things differently than I'm going to digest things differently.
Yeah.
So if we had a pool of Tyler's take the GI, or be tested for glycemic indexing, and had a pool of me's get tested... the numbers would come out slightly different. So the best way I've found is if you find a huge difference between two numbers, just average them out. That's probably the best way to go. So Tyler, also we talked a little bit about the special times to eat.
Yeah.
Eat high glycemic carbohydrates. You want
to
give us
I like to eat them before a workout. Because I burn them off, and it keeps me alert while I'm working out.
Right.
You don't want to have a crash while you're working out. I've had those before, and that's not fun. And then also...
And also, if you have something with a low glycemic index right before your workout, you're going to get cramps and all that.
Yeah, you get really... It's being full. Like, it's kind of that concept.
Yeah, all the blood is at your stomach, etc., etc.
And then... I would eat something small that's high in the GI right after, just kind of as a pick-me-up.
Right.
Because I'm tired after a workout.
And
but I wouldn't eat, like, a whole bagel.
Right.
I'd probably eat, like, a half of one.
Do you know, this is as a side note, bagel with cream cheese, like, standard-wise, has as much calories, as many carbohydrates as a Big Mac, and almost as many calories.
I did actually know that. I don't know how I knew that. You might have either told me or I read it somewhere else.
Yeah. And also, going along with what you just said about eating something small after your workout, you have what's called a higher carbohydrate sensitivity after your workout. So that means your cells are going to absorb the carbohydrates and the glucose quicker after your workout. So meaning that... it won't have as much of an impact on your insulin levels because your cells need it because you've just depleted all of their energy. So that's a good time to incorporate anything in the moderate or in the high levels. So if you enjoy your white bread, eat your white bread after you eat or after you work out. And that's a simple way to go. And that sensitivity lasts for up to an hour, but if you eat right after your workout, it doesn't mean that you get to eat something high an hour later, too. It means that the first meat, whatever you eat right after your workout the first time, that should be higher on the glycemic index.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That did make sense.
Sick. Very cool. Is there anything else important that we need to mention about the glycemic index?
No.
I'd say it's a good tool to gauge which carbohydrates you should be eating. As opposed to gauging just the grams of carbs, this matters more because a bean might have more carbohydrates than a piece of bread, but it doesn't impact your system as much. It almost acts like a protein because it digests so slowly. I said protein really weird, didn't I?
You did a little bit.
That's really funny.
What I was going to say, though, is that it also kind of, in making a diet, I often will be, like, stuck between, oh, do I want to eat this or that? The GI kind of will always point me towards one other than the other one.
Absolutely. That's a good point.
Because so often, like, a lot of people will do the, oh, well, you know, this has 50 grams of carbs and this has 50 grams. Well, which one should I eat?
Right.
The one that has the lower GI, probably, more than likely. Mattering right. on when you're going to eat it, but more than likely the low.
Right. It's about quality of calories as opposed to the quantity.
Yes.
Because if you have a really high quantity of calories, but they're really good quality, that's better than having a lower quantity with really high glycemic index, which would be the quality.
Yes.
So I recommend checking it out. Go to our website. We'll put up this PDF from the University of Wisconsin.
You said it right, yay.
I know, right? And I'll also put up the link to the glycemic index search that I found as well, which is really, really useful. And I don't think Tyler or I is advocating using this, like, memorizing everything. Just know kind of where things are. Oh, a baked potato is 85. It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm not going to eat that. But a bean is 20. I'm going to have that instead.
Yeah, it's a gauge,
right?
Not a rule maker.
Exactly. So, I think it's one of the more useful tools that you can have for your diet. Okay, T. Does that about cover it?
I think that should do it,
too. All right. We're going to talk about the glycemic load later on, but look forward to lumbar flexion tomorrow. It's going to get kind of technical, kind of dirty, but it should be good. I'm excited about it.
Dirty?
Like, you know, a lot of swear words. Kidding. It's gonna get deep into some anatomical stuff.
So. Dirty made it sound like it was gonna become R-rated.
Right. Alright, take us out, T.
Honey.
Honey, got it. We will talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy your day. Peace. No.